Ninja was paid how much to stream Apex Legends, and more, coming up on today's episode of The Latest in Tech News. Hey, Gadgeteer, you're just in time for the latest episode in the world's only 3-in-1 show on everything tech, gadgets, and gaming news. That's right, this is The Latest in Tech News Podcast. My name is Taylor Merrick, and if you're new here, tap or click that subscribe button right now so that you don't miss a single episode. Now, yesterday, I had a great time recording an entire show, the final 10 minutes of which decided to cut out on me. So while I'm sitting here having a great old time talking away, having a great old time, my mic, which I've been enjoying very much, by the way, I don't know how about you guys. If you have, let me know. If you haven't, let me know. Facebook or Twitter is usually the best way to get in touch with the show. But I got mad because I want technology to work. And seeing as how this is a tech show, one would think it would work. And I'm a kind of guy who I like stuff working. And if it works, great, then I don't complain about it. But if it does, I'll throw a fit. And you probably heard me throw a fit on yesterday's show. But anyways, be that as it may, we talk about the latest in tech, gadget, and gaming news here. We don't talk about the most popular stuff, although sometimes we do. We don't try to focus on all of that. We try to get through a collection of articles from tech news to gaming to gadgets and have a great time and enjoy it. By the way, I'm making this as a video. This is my second attempt at this. This video will be posted later to Facebook and YouTube, so if you want to catch the show there, along with all the fun visual elements, head on over to facebook.com/technewsgadget or youtube.com/technewsgadget. Now, hopefully this is all working, and if it isn't, I'm going to seriously snap either this microphone or this computer in half and throw it out the window. It's not that old. I just bought this microphone. Okay, I'm done ranting. And I shouldn't be touching the microphone cord anymore because I think that's what killed it the last time. Anyways, let's head on over to today's trivia, shall we? All right, on yesterday's show, last episode, I asked you, currently, what is the world's most popular browser? And I posted this question out on Twitter and open to answers. And I'd stop hitting the mic stand, Taylor. Gosh, I'm an idiot. So the answers I got back were not correct. The correct answer to yesterday's question of currently what is the world's most popular browser is Google Chrome. Surprise, right? Well, Google Chrome sits at about 62% market share right now, followed by three others, in which none of the four listed are Internet Explorer or Edge. Yes, victory. All right. Well, all right. So let's move on to today's question. By the way, if you want to play along with the trivia and you're watching or listening right now, submit your answer on Twitter by replying to the tweet with a question for today's trivia. The link to this tweet will also be listed in our show notes for this episode. Although if you want to head on over to Twitter right now, twitter.com/technewsgadget, and then you can answer the trivia question right there. It'll usually have the hashtag LITN trivia, just so that you know. The first correct answer to this question will be announced in the next episode, along with your Twitter username. So if you guys want bragging rights, let's hop right on in onto the question. So the question for today is, what is the best-selling video game of all time? Post your question answers. Well, actually, don't post your questions. Don't post your answers. Wow, I'm getting really good with speaking English, as I can tell here. I got a camera looking at me. I got microphones going. I got lights in my face. I'm kind of blind. I can't see. I'm stupid. So post your answers to the tweet that this question is on. And if you're the first correct answer, you get bragging rights in the next episode. So moving on. Heading on over to today in tech history, let's find out what happened on this day in history, being that today is March 13th, 2019. On this day in history, Microsoft goes public. Yep, March 13th, 1986 marks the date that Microsoft Corporation goes public. 10 years after the company's founding, it went public at $21 per share. The stock, which eventually closed at $27.75 a share, peaked at $29.25 a share shortly after the opening. It is said that the rising value of Microsoft stock has made an estimated 4 billionaires and 12,000 millionaires of Microsoft employees. And, well, just keep in mind, if you had purchased just a single share at $21 on opening day, your investment would be worth approximately $4,000 as of 2012. Matter of fact, Bill Gates, age 30, made $350 million in a single day. Kind of incredible, kind of crazy. But, you know, that's what happens when you have, you know, crazy tech things going on. So, yeah, that's all the tech history that we have for today. Let's head on over to today's news, shall we? All right, first up on the docket, I know everybody's complaining about this. Everybody's complaining. Facebook apparently has been down for hours. Instagram, WhatsApp has also been affected. What's going on? Is this global? No, because I've been able to get on Facebook okay. I didn't think that there's a problem, but apparently other people have been noticing that there's a problem. Facebook users around the world are reporting issues logging into and posting on the site as well as on Instagram and WhatsApp. Facebook hasn't given a reason for the outage and provided minimal information other than acknowledging it is aware services are down in some areas. Facebook shares were relatively unchanged Wednesday afternoon, just in case anybody was worried about selling your Facebook stock. The company acknowledged the outage in a tweet today, saying, "We're aware of some people currently having trouble accessing the Facebook family of apps. We're working to resolve the issue as soon as possible." It later confirmed the problem was not the result of a DDoS attack, which refers to a distributed denial of service attack. If you didn't know what that was, now you know. Google it, you'll have fun. In which a hacker overwhelms a site by flooding it with fake traffic. Reports of problems with Facebook peaked at over 11,000 worldwide, according to Down Detector, a website where users can report problems on apps and websites. Down Detector listed zero problems by about 5 p.m. Eastern, but Facebook hasn't yet confirmed the issues were resolved. So, a variety of problems, being able to load the site at all, to not being able to post comments. User posted screenshots on Twitter showing error messages when they tried to load. When loading the site, they sometimes got a screen saying account temporarily unavailable. Don't worry, your accounts haven't been affected in any which way or form. But Facebook had an outage, and it'll be back if it hasn't been already. Don't worry, you can all... seriously, guys, today was a great day with Facebook and Instagram and WhatsApp being down to go outside and enjoy something called nature without worrying about pictures or videos or anything else, just enjoying it. Maybe talking with a friend face-to-face, you know, maybe using a different kind of application like FaceTime to try and communicate with an individual if you really wanted the whole tech-connected feeling. But there you have it. I had to talk about it. So now that we have that out of the way, let's head on over to the rest of the news. Apparently, there's new adware with destructive capabilities that infected over 200 Google Play Store apps. Now, if you have an iOS or a smartphone or Apple phone, you all don't have to worry. This is just for y'all Android listeners and viewers and watchers. Apparently, researchers have uncovered a new adware strain that until recently was running rampant on the Google Play Store. More than 200 applications are said to carry the malware. In a post Wednesday, Israeli security firm Checkpoint said applications known to contain this particular adware strain, dubbed Simbad, had been downloaded almost 150 million times, primarily by gamers. According to the company, they said that "we believe the developers were scammed to use this malicious SDK unaware of its content, leading to the fact that its campaign was not targeting a specific county, or developed by the same developer. The malware has been dubbed Simbad due to the fact that a large portion of the infected applications are simulator games." So it would do goofy stuff like, in order to make its icons disappear in an effort to make the app harder to remove. It then begins to display background ads and can open any URL in the phone's browser. So, I guess through opening a URL, they can generate phishing pages for multiple platforms and open them in a browser, thus performing spear phishing attacks on the user. So, kind of, don't worry, they got it. So, in case you are wondering what games were affected, they do have a listing of games here. If you have played or playing or whatever, just delete these apps. Snow Heavy Excavator Simulator, Hoverboard Racing, Real Tractor Farming Simulator, Ambulance Rescue Driving, Heavy Mountain Bus Simulator 2018, Fire Truck Emergency Driver, Farming Tractor Real Harvest Simulator, Car Parking Challenge, speed boat jet ski racing, and water surfing car stunt. So there's also a complete list. By the way, a link to all of today's articles will be listed over at technewsgadget.net/87/87. You can get the whole show notes and audio articles that we mentioned today and read more about it. By the way, if you're listening via podcast, you should just be able to swipe up and or click on more details or more information, however you get the more information on your podcast listing. And you can easily just right in the app, tap on the article, and it'll load for you. How about that? The wonder of technology. When it works, stupid microphone is snapping in half. Anyways, moving on. Getting into the big news of today, you guys are all wondering, how much was Ninja paid to stream Apex Legends? I mean, I know he was paid, and he said today's stream is a sponsored stream when he came on that day, the very first day. It was just for that day that it was sponsored, but apparently EA paid him $1 million to stream Apex Legends. These days, it's not uncommon to see big companies promote their games by cutting deals with top YouTubers and streamers, but how much does one of those deals cost? Well, in the case of Chameleon Hair Twitch King Tyler Ninja Blevins, the number could be as high as $1 million, although it hasn't been confirmed. Citing an anonymous source, Reuters published a report today saying publisher EA paid Ninja $1 million to play Apex Legends and tweet about it the day after the game launched on February 4th. Ninja has over 13 million followers on Twitch, not to mention some 20-odd million on YouTube, meaning that anything he streams or posts via video will get an astronomical amount of exposure. That said, even by Ninja standards, $1 million is a significant chunk of change. In December, he told CNN he makes about $500,000 per month and a lot more in a, quote, good month. Although Kotaku was not able to independently confirm the veracity of Reuters' report, two people who have worked with Ninja said he was paid $600,000 for one event last year. These people who requested anonymity because they were not authorized to speak about the deal asked that we not name the event. When asked for comment, Ninja did not reply, and while EA declined to go into specifics, an EA rep did tell Kotaku that the company had a multi-part marketing program for Apex Legends that included paid engagements with some content creators at the launch of the game as we looked to quickly introduce the game to the world. And what a brilliant idea, I think. I mean, what else better way to market your game? Apex Legends, just seriously, great job, Respawn Entertainment. Not EA. EA probably, well, they might have had some help into it, but what a brilliant way to market a game. No marketing at all, no pre-hype, no sitting here at EA, or not EA, what's that stupid, I can't think about it now. You're probably thinking about it right now, right off the top of your head, and yelling at me and screaming at the screen. I forgot, whatever that gaming convention is, that apparently Sony and PlayStation and maybe one other company are pulling out of this year. Guys, I'm sorry. My brain shot. I had a whole day of work. This is what I do for part-time, just for fun on the side. But what was I trying to say? Oh, yes. The point being that, you know, usually game studios and publishers would go hype games up year after year at launches and different events throughout the year and trying to get a lot of hype and interest around it. And then when they drop it, boom, they have all these people buying it. Respawn Entertainment and partnership with EA Games and Apex Legends in particular went, hey, what if we go and hit all the tops of streamers and YouTubers and have them get paid a good chunk of money for the entire day to play this game and enjoy it, promote it, whatever, and then we'll watch what happens. Boom, top of the charts. Brilliant marketing scheme. I'd love to see more of that more often. Just because I'm a business and a marketing guy, I love learning about that kind of information. But anyways, however, they said that the paid streams were short-lived. After midday on February 5th, the day after release, all Apex Legends streaming from content creators was completely organic. The rep also pointed to a disclosure policy streamers like Ninja were required to adhere to, which was mandatory for every country, language, or influencer that we work with. We do not partner with influencers, agencies, or talent who do not support proper disclosure. Now, it does not go into how often streamers are required to disclose sponsored content or exactly proper disclosure methods or how prominent placement of said disclosure needs to be. This can lead to confusion, given that streams often last for many hours. Case in point, on Apex Legends, launch day and the day following, apparently streams from both Ninja and fellow Battle Royale Kingpin Michael Shroud Grzyk, both had stream graphics that indicated they were part of an Apex Legends partner program, but during the time I watched them, neither outlined the exact specifics of what this program entailed. Although, do you really need to know? All you need to know is that it was an ad deal that went very, very well. Do you see how popular Apex Legends is? Thank you very much. And I'm going to cut it off here before I actually start ranting and raving, because we have some other news that we need to get to. But great job, Ninja. And if you're enjoying Apex Legends, well, great job on a marketing team there. And if you're not, well, you know, there's other games for you to enjoy as well, like Minecraft. All right. On the smartphone front, 5G is coming out, yes, but it will cost you more. Verizon plans are looking to be adding on at least $10 on an add-on charge for 5G access. Verizon will be launching its 5G mobile service in April, but it will only be available in two cities at first, and customers will have to pay an extra $10 a month to access it. Now, one bit of good news is that Verizon won't apply throttling to the 5G service, but that may change later on, and slowdowns will continue to apply to Verizon's existing 4G service. Verizon today announced that its 5G network will go live on April 11th in select areas of Chicago and Minneapolis, and eventually hit more than 30 cities in U.S. throughout 2019. To use the 5G service at launch, you'll have to pay $50 for the Verizon-exclusive 5G Moto Mod, which can be attached to a Motorola Moto Z3, a phone that Verizon sells for $480. Now, 5G access will be available to customers who subscribe to one of Verizon's unlimited data plans for an extra $10 a month, though that $10 add-on charge will be waived for the first 3 months. Verizon has said, has not said exactly how fast the 5G mobile service will be at launch. Now, without the 5G service, Verizon's three unlimited plans cost $75, $85, or $95 a month for a single line and differ based on throttling policies, video quality, and mobile hotspot plan limits. That means a single line plan with 5G will cost $85 to $105 a month plus taxes and fees. So no slowdowns on 5G for now, but they'll probably be imposing more slowdowns as more people are brought onto it, as they expand throughout the cities, as more phones become available with 5G. So we got some time. It's not like everybody has to run to the store right now and buy 5G, because if you did, y'all is nuts, okay? It just came out. I'd worry more about fiber internet than 5G, but it's a work in progress. Yes, it's the latest, coolest new tech, but it just takes time to work into everything else, as everything else so far up to this point has shown. Speaking of smartphones, smartphone sales in China plummet to their lowest in 6 years. Apparently, handsets are down 20% from just a year ago. Now, it's no secret that smartphone sales are on a decline worldwide as consumers hold on to their handsets for longer. It's funny. It's like Apple came out with a great phone, four versions ago? That lasted very well. Solidly built, durable, rugged, you know, survived. And now all these smartphone companies went and they said, we got to make cheaper parts and then newer phones every single year, and they re-up it and we make more money, and then we charge more and we make more money, big money, more money. And then the consumer says, wait, how about y'all make a good decent phone, because I want to hold on to it more than a year. And now they're all like, oh shoot, what does that mean? Well, China took a big hit, 20% hit. Ouch. The trend is particularly visible in China, the world's biggest tech market, and a major battleground for the industry's leading manufacturers. When China slumps, even Apple and Samsung get burned, and the latest official data out of the country via Reuters paints a dire picture. Smartphone shipments in China fell to their lowest in 6 years in February, according to a government-affiliated research group. Overall, handset sales total 14.5 million units, down almost 20% from a year ago. The latest figures are the slowest since 2013, when shipments totaled 20.7 million. According to Reuters, some of the blame can be laid on a slow February, during which the Chinese were busy marking a Lunar New Year calendar, although that happens every February, so I don't know quite what the problem is, unless they had a really special one. The wider regional canvas spans China's economic slowdown. It's worse in almost three decades, and they're in the middle of a trade war with the U.S. that's been tariffs being placed on American goods, and Apple blamed the latter in January when it told investors it wasn't going to sell as many devices in Asia as in the past. And now Tim Cook and company are resorting to a new tactic to lure shoppers into the region, like interest-free credit on new iPhones. So at least Apple can take solace in the fact that it's not the only company that's losing out. According to recent stats from IDC, Chinese upstarts Vivo and Oppo are struggling to improve their sales despite releasing innovative handsets at competitive prices, of which we've seen a couple of them and are quite impressive. Local giant Xiaomi has also watched its numbers dip. Before that, IDC noted that Samsung shipped 13.4% fewer smartphones in the third quarter of last year. It did, however, predict that 5G could prove to be the industry-saving grace in 2019, and everyone from OnePlus to Samsung will try to prove IDC right this year, although it depends on how long it takes 5G to be rolled out, as we were saying. Y'all don't rush into it. If you do, you might just cause some problems, okay? Just saying. Ooh, it turns out, in Russia, scientists use a quantum computer to turn back time. Now, a quantum system was kicked a tiny fraction of a second backward in time. Yes, everyone. This comes to us from futurism.com. By the way, the link to any of the articles mentioned in today's show can be found at technewsgadget.net/87. Yep. And y'all can enjoy that. I'm not Southern, guys. I'm not from down south. I'm just in a really weird commentary kind of mood today. You know how it is. Russian. I'm from Milwaukee. Can't you hear the northern Great Lakes accent in my voice? Russian scientists have apparently reversed the flow of time in an experiment they conducted on a quantum computer. The finding is unlikely to lead to a time machine at any point in time that would work on people, but the team of physicists managed to restore IBM's public quantum computer to the state it had been in just a moment earlier, apparently a tiny fraction of a second, like a nanosecond, according to research published today in the Nature Scientific Reports. A nuanced result, but one that could have striking implications for the future of computing, quantum physics, and our understanding of time itself. Now, you know the reason why I decided to include this article in. We have artificially created a state that evolves in a direction opposite to that of the thermodynamic arrow of time. Gordy Lasovic, quantum physicist from the Moscow Institute of Physics and Technology who led the research project, said in a university published press release today. Apparently, Lasovic's team worked with scientists at the Argonaut National Laboratory in Illinois. Great. Thanks a lot, Dexter. To run thousands of experiments on a quantum system programmed to reverse time's arrow on a single electron. After thousands of trials, the physicists managed to restore the quantum computer's earlier state about 85% of the time, but only if they're working with a simplified 2-qubit system. A more complex quantum computer with 3 qubits was too chaotic, and a time reversal experiment only worked 49% of the time. Just like research into quantum teleportation has nothing to do with transporting people, there's no reason to study this link to the notion of a machine that could travel through time. Rather, the scientists hope that their work can help quantum computer scientists make sure their software is actually doing what it's supposed to be doing by kicking it back through time and double-checking its work. So, pretty impressive work there. Congratulations, guys. Great job. You got it going back a fraction of a second, which quite very well might lead to more interesting development in the future. Now, I don't usually talk about cars, but this one decided to warrant a look. Apparently, the new Ford Explorer can be equipped with tires that can repair themselves. Yep, you heard that right. Apparently, the new Ford Explorer can be outfitted with a set of Michelin self-seal tires. Now, you might have heard of running flat on tires that can continue rolling for a short period of time after being damaged, giving drivers the chance to avoid immediately pulling over to change a tire or make a repair. But Ford and Michelin are taking things farther with self-seal tires available on a new Ford Explorer SUV. According to Ford, the tires can handle 90% of punctures that are up to a quarter inch in diameter. Michelin's technology uses a rubber sealant in the tire to fill holes if, say, a nail pierces the tire and falls out. Now, if the same nail stays in the tire, the sealant surrounds the puncture. Now, obviously, the sealant doesn't necessarily prevent the tire from leaking air, but it does slow the place of the leak to 15 pounds per square inch per week. Michelin introduced the technology in 2011, and they're finally rolling it out with cars. Get it? Four times. Okay, that joke didn't work. The one prior to it did, and the one didn't. Okay, I'm going to yell at Octavius, because he's the one responsible for writing my jokes. He's my producer, but he sits around and does nothing. He's a blue octopus. Hey, you want to see him? You want to see him really quick? Okay. Those of you listening on audio, you're like, what the heck's going on? Well, if you're watching video on Facebook or YouTube, welcome, Octavius. All right, here he is. There you go. Hi, Octavius. He doesn't talk. He rarely does anything, but if he's happy, he's blue, and if he's mad, well, he turns purple. Or sad. I can't tell. Now he's looking at me. Oh, great. Get him out of here. Get him out of here. Don't worry. It's not animal abuse. It's just a stuffed animal. I'm going to get myself in trouble for this. Nothing derails a family vacation like a flat tire, Ford engineer Joseph Billman said in a statement. Explorer is the ultimate road trip family hauler, and it's the perfect fit for these new Michelin self-seal tires. The tires are standard on the four-wheel drive Explorer Platinum and Limited Hybrid trim levels. They're optional on the four- and two-wheel drive Limited trains. In addition to speeding up trips when there's a mishap, Ford also says that the new tires enable motorists to avoid dangerous stops to make a change, as well as loss of vehicle control in the event of a flat. Now, changing a tire can be an arduous undertaking involving a jack that has to be assembled and a temporary spare that could have been neglected for the life of the vehicle. Many older motorists have a story about changing a flat by the roadside at night in the rain. Apparently, well, we won't have to worry about it right away. We should be able to get to the destination fine. It won't be leaking that bad. You should be able to get it to, okay, in a reasonable amount of time. That doesn't mean you can sit there and drive for months and months and months, guys. In a reasonable amount of time, say maybe a couple of days later or later on that day when it's more beneficial to you, can go and stop and say, hey, I got my tire punctured by a nail and it's turning flat. And they'll go, oh, okay, but now you're probably going to have to explain to them, it's a self-sealing tire, and you probably have the auto repair shop go, what the heck is that? This is some newfangled technology. I don't know what's going on. Somebody help me. All right, let's head on over to the last article of today. Apparently, Mr. Beast was debuting some footage of an epic $200,000 airsoft battle royale featuring Pokimane, Courage, and more. Apparently, Jaden Animation, Valkyrie, and Alex Wasabi, and many more YouTubers, 39 in all total, along with a couple streamers from Twitch, from all walks of entertainment, competed in two games with $100,000 going to the winning team. Now, I don't know, did this just happen today? This must have just happened today. Apparently, YouTubers are split into 13 teams, while each member had three balloons tied to their helmet. Once all balloons are popped, that person was eliminated. Last team standing would take the prize. And if you're missing out on the visual side of things, just click on the article in the show notes and you can read it. Otherwise, if you're watching a video right now, we have some footage right now. We're not going to be playing a YouTube video. There'll be a link to that in the article, obviously, for you to watch. But look at this setup. There's only one thing more impressive than Mr. Beat's party planning. That was the insanely huge arena where 250 airsoft weapons were scattered throughout for players to find. Mr. Beast had equipped each of their helmets with a GoPro to capture riveting moments as airsoft pellets whizzed across the battlefield. All of the teams are instantly feeling the pressure of a live battle royale as the action got more intense from the makeshift zone of caution tape closing in. The games featured all the drama, ranging from teams not being able to find any weapons, balloons being caught by the closing zone, weapons being fought over upon pickup, ambushes, multi-kills, teaming, flanks, big plays, and more. After the dust settled, well, I'm not going to spoil who won, because I want you guys to enjoy the video. So, with that said, that wraps up today's tech news. By the way, thanks for tuning in, guys. New episodes every weekday. The latest in tech news is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Overcast, and everywhere else podcasts are heard. By the way, if we missed something on the show that you wanted to hear about, be sure to let us know on our Twitter, Facebook, and Discord channels. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love it if you could give us a 5-star review and tell your friends how to subscribe as well. I'm your host, Taylor Merrick, and remember, for the latest in tech, gadgets, and gaming news, visit TechNewsGadget.net. Pretty much, keep being awesome, guys, and I'll see you on the flip side.